the explorers, Columbus, Cabot, and Cartier. Christopher Columbus. The kings of the Middle Ages liked their hoss and pfeffer. In order to keep their jobs and their heads, cooks used pepper to improve the taste of their meals. Spices enhanced the flavor of such things as soup, wine, and yes, even Scottish food. Unfortunately, to borrow a quote from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the Royal Ugly Noble Dudes had to pay crazy prices for spices. And worse still, it took forever for the taste-enhancing products to reach England because they had to be imported from distant India. By the early 15th century, the spice trade was an integral part of the European economy. Pepper, in particular, achieved a ridiculous value in France. Back in the day, a pound of pepper was worth about the equivalent of 1,000 American dollars today. The possibility of making a profit, a large profit, encouraged people to develop more efficient technologies to travel to India and China. Before the New World was discovered, there were two routes available to merchants wanting to get to India. The first method was a dangerous and expensive overland route. Merchants would have to travel through Muslim-controlled lands and pay huge sums of money to travel safely along what became known as the Silk Road. The second method required a person to sail around the tip of South Africa. This treacherous journey took months and was fraught with all sorts of danger from pirates, disease, or just plain old bad luck. You gotta watch out for those great white sharks, dude. But merchants were capitalists. They looked for ways to reduce expenses and increase profits. Capitalism was the driving force behind improving exploration techniques, and consequently influenced the European colonization of North America. After being rejected by the kings of France and England, Columbus managed to convince King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain to finance his planned western voyage. On August 3, 1492, Columbus's three ships, the Santa Maria, the Nina, and the Pinta, sailed westward into the unknown. About 2 months later, on October 12, at 2 in the morning, a lookout on the Pinta spotted land. Jamaica had been rediscovered. Initially, Columbus and crew believed they had reached the shores of either Japan or China. However, when they went ashore, they began to notice that there weren't any Chinese or Japanese people milling about. Being a smart guy, Columbus put one and one together and got five when he said to himself, "If this isn't China, then I must be in India." Actually, he had reached the West Indies in the Caribbean Sea, southeast of Florida. He mistakenly thought he was somewhere near the East Indies in the Pacific Ocean, some 5,000 miles to the west. His mistake led him to call the native Jamaicans Indians. The term Indian, for good or for bad, has since pretty much stuck as a moniker for the natives of North America ever since. In a culturally sensitive maneuver, Columbus claimed Jamaica in the name of Spain. Some natives of the island were present at what must have been for them a confusing land-claiming ceremony. I imagine the natives felt sort of like I did when Denmark claimed, rather stole, a tiny Canadian Arctic island off the west coast of Greenland called Hans Island. And I really hope the Canadian government introduces conscription soon so we can attack Denmark with our 2.5 subs.